As Taoiseach, I want to see everyone reach their full potential. I want to help create an Ireland that drives innovation and creativity, an Ireland that is compassionate, tolerant and respectful.
On the things that really matter to workers and families, you have comprehensively failed, and no amount of bragging or bluster will disguise that fact.
Welcome to Your Politics, RTE's weekly politics podcast from Leinster House. I'm Áine Lawler. Tommy Mescal from our politics team is with me, as is Gabia Gatafes-Kaite, Irish Independent political correspondent. Thanks for stepping in to join us today, Gabia. Let's start with the big news of the day. And so, more than four decades later, 48 victims, families that have had an uphill and downhill and round every corner battle for justice, for truth. And finally today, we got the coroner's verdict, Tommy. Unlawful killing.
Yes. We knew yesterday, of course, that they had reached a verdict, but they were waiting until this afternoon before that would be read out. That was to give the families an opportunity to travel to Dublin to be here, to hear that, because it happened over four decades ago. So those families have spread out in the interim. The verdict didn't fall in time for leaders' questions today in the Dáil, but there was a huge sense of anticipation and it was definitely to the forefront of politicians' minds. In fact, at the beginning of leaders' questions, both the Taoiseach Micheál Martin and the Deputy Leader of Sinn Féin, Piers Doherty, both paid tribute to the families of the Stardust victims. In fact, I think we can listen to a clip of that now.
This will be a huge moment for the families and indeed for the entire country because the Stardust tragedy is seared in on the collective consciousness of the Irish people. And the tenacity of the families and their success in securing this inquest has been a service to all in society.
They have waited, as we all know, four decades to answers to what happened to their loved ones at that time, and they faced many, many obstacles, including those put in their way by this state. And I hope that the families involved today will get those answers that they waited for. And I extend to them my solidarity and the solidarity of everyone in Sinn Féin on this momentous day.
And there has been a lot of political reaction. I know Simon Harris has been reacting as well from Brussels, where he's at the EU Council meeting. It's hard to describe just how big a day this is, isn't it, for the families, and how long. I mean, I can't think of how many times in Leinster House they've been coming in and out of this place looking to have what they finally got today.
And I think that's a really big part of it, is this unwavering fight for justice. And we are seeing that a lot of those victims who came, to hear that verdict today, they're really elderly people, and they really should have not been dragged through the courts and through every avenue, through protests, through coming to the Dáil and standing outside and saying we want justice. And we know this journey that they have gone on throughout the years, which has been meandering and incredibly unfair to them, they'd argue, at certain points. But yes, we have seen that reaction from Taoiseach Simon Harris. He's saying the government will consider this verdict in full and the recommendations of the jury. He's saying 48 young people never came home that night. But as Taoiseach, I want to say this to their families. You never gave up on justice for them, and you never let Ireland forget about them. They were never alone, and our country owes you a great debt for that. So I think it's interesting to see those tributes are pouring in, and of course, rightfully and deservedly so. But ultimately, there does have to be, I think, an acknowledgement from the arms of government that, you know, these people were seriously let down by the state, and they should have had this justice a long time ago.
It's funny, I was telling you before we started, I remember the morning after, because it was a different time. I'd woken up, I hadn't heard the news, you didn't have phones, I hadn't seen the newspapers. I was on the 28 bus going back home, and the 28 bus passed the City Morgue, and I was on the top deck of the bus. And so the first I knew about it was this huge big white tent had been erected at the morgue, because obviously the morgue was full of all of those who'd been fallen victim to the fire. And there was this big white tent. So it was like waking up and you're in the middle of a horror film. You didn't know what had gone on. And it was only when you got home. And of course, my parents were able to tell me then what had happened. It's a moment I'll always remember. I thought too of Charlie Bird today, and striking how many of those Stardust families, how many of them came to Charlie's funeral, because he had stood with them on that journey along the way.
He absolutely helps to tell their story in a very vivid way. And during this inquest, we also got an opportunity through those pen portraits to get a better understanding of the victims, who they were, what they hoped to be, what they could have been in their life. And we've gotten to know the families over the years. And a really sad part of today is that many of those campaigners, some of them parents, you know, they're no longer here. They didn't get to live to see today. And I think that'll weigh very heavily on the minds of some of the other campaigners, the likes of Antoinette Keegan and so on. So it's a very emotional day for those families. I thought the line in Simon Harris's statement was interesting about considering this verdict. So I wonder what response from what response the government will make to this. Time will tell on that front.
Okay, time will tell. Our sympathies to all the families, and our hopes that today's verdict is something that is meaningful and helpful to all of them, whatever happens next. Okay, let's go back to the mundane. We're a political hurly-burly. It's a week that's been bookended by political conferences because it's that time of year. We had the Fianna Fáil Ordesh at the weekend. It all seems quite a long time ago now, doesn't it, Gabby? So, I mean, the Fianna Fáil are making great play, aren't they, of their housing statistics since they came into government?
Very much so. And obviously that comes as part of Taoiseach Simon Harris's speech at the Fine Gael Ardèche, which of course made this huge promise of 250,000 homes to be built. Of course, Fianna Fáil have the housing portfolio and Dara O'Brien. And so I think there was a lot of talk about budgetary speculation over the weekend. We saw Michael McGrath, the finance minister, he was certainly out speaking about, you know, increases to pensions and so on, telling the Sunday Independent it'll be an increase of at least 12 euro, which is what we saw last year. So we're likely to see that again. I don't think we've ever had budgetary speculation in April. Probably not ever, but certainly in my 3 years of being in politics, I think I did a budget story in May of last year, and I thought that's very early, but it gets earlier every single year. And I think it just shows you that the focus really now for the government is a really, really good budget. That's what they want ultimately. When you see Fine Gael talking about housing, that's probably in response to the Sinn Féin coming out and saying that, you know, very quickly after Simon Harris became leader of Fine Gael, there wasn't really any talk about housing in any of his speeches or press conferences and so on. So they felt they had to go heavy on that. Fianna Fáil tried to claim it back over the weekend. Of course, they're going to, the cabinet is going to sign off on these development levies that are going to be waived for yet another year.
And this is, I mean, that's one thing that was being emphasised throughout the weekend. The belief in Fianna Fáil that the decision of the minister to waive those development levies, it was initially just up until April, he announced at the weekend he'll be extending, that meant there was a real big push by developers to get projects started, and that's why starts are at a record number.
Yeah, and also, like, on the other side, like, it's an easy one for Sinn Féin to say, here you are, you're making life easier yet again for developers, and how is that acceptable? And they're saying it's, even though we have a new Taoiseach, it's more of the same. You know, it's this argument, I think, that goes on really quite often between anything that the government does to try and make that process of building homes a little bit easier, the opposition comes back and says, well, you're just lining developers' pockets.
And there is the fact that, you know, and again, the government is saying, look at the numbers, you know, we were ahead of target last year, we're going to be ahead of target this year. They say on that 250,000 homes over 5 years, the capacity to get to 50,000 a year, that's not there at the moment, but we're doing our best to get there. On the other hand, given that, you know, we're talking about giveaway budgets, we're talking about an election sometime in the next year, house prices, they're going up faster than they were at this time last year, rents going up, homelessness going up. And the question for government is, can they get any of those numbers down before the next election? Probably not.
In relation to those targets as well, the government would accept, and we know that those targets are not accurate and they're going to be revised upwards, and that'll happen in the autumn. So even if you are exceeding those targets, they're not enough to meet the demand. This was brought up during leaders' questions again today, actually. You had the likes of Holly Cairns, the Social Democrats leader, listing out a number of case studies, individuals that were stuck in their parents' houses, that were stuck renting, that couldn't buy. It's the forever problem that will dominate this government's agenda.
And the fact that within the new starts, the targets for social and affordable housing, they are being missed and missed consistently.
Sinn Féin will say there's too much red tape, and that's why they're being missed. That if you reduce the red tape, local authorities will be able to build faster. And they also don't fully buy the argument that capacity is the main problem. They see that actually changes could be made around the area of red tape, as I say, to try and get over this hurdle.
And it seems to be the government again, the government parties, both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael anyway, laying big emphasis on the schemes to help people start buying their own homes, that they are having an impact, that they have helped so many, that they're popular. Mm-hmm. And obviously we know Sinn Féin has said they would not go ahead with...
Want to scrap them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so Help to Buy, of course, is the obvious one. You know, massively costly measure that has been put in place for a number of years now. I think it's been initially was meant to be, I think, for a year or two, and it's been extended, and we know it's going to be extended yet again. You know, €30,000 that you get more or less tax-free to buy... a brand new house, if you're a first-time buyer, then you have the first home scheme that Dara Bryan brought in himself, The shared equity scheme, which is, you know, it is kind of, you take out, the state takes out an equity on your property, but you will have to pay that back. You know, this famous line for Fianna Fáil is that I think you can get up to €100,000 off the price of a house. The argument that first-time buyers will make is that all those schemes apply only to brand new homes. That's, of course, incentivized home building. But those brand new homes are much more expensive than the second-hand homes that are, you know, more readily available on the market. And so maybe you're looking at the price tag of 600,000, you take off that 100, it's still €500,000. That's a lot of money for any couple or any young family to buy. The government also points to these figures of, you know, 500 people now every single week are buying their first home. Isn't that a positive? And Sinn Féin will say, well, look, all those grants and schemes that you have, they're only pushing up house prices. We're going to get rid of all of them. The response from the government is, of course, oh, sure, you know, you're not going to help first-time buyers at all. And that is an argument that we see endlessly going backwards and forwards in the Dáil.
There's a man... you might have seen him before. He protests outside the Dáil every Thursday.
Yes.
He stands there with his guitar. Martin Leahy is his name. And his song, it's the same song he sings over and over again. Everyone should have a home. But today, yes. I think, is his 100th day protesting outside Leinster House. So I saw a few of the opposition TDs, the likes of Richard Boyd Barrett, and that outside getting their photos with him. So a big day for Martin Leahy.
And it was a big week, of course, for the new ministers, their first cabinet meeting and the new Taoiseach's first leader's questions after being excoriated by Mary Lou MacDonald last week for being Os Láthair. And Sinn Féin went in big on health.
Yeah, and it was interesting, I thought, the very first leader's questions on the Tuesday between Simon Harris and Mary Lou MacDonald. Actually, I don't know, Tommy, if you'll agree with me on this, quite subdued, actually. It wasn't very exciting. Certainly yesterday was much more exciting when we had this accusation from the Taoiseach that Sinn Féin's alternative health budget had been removed from the Sinn Féin website, and after he criticised it all the day before. I think if you were to Google for the document, the link that appears on Google is broken, all right, but if you are on the Sinn Féin website and if you look for the policy document, it is actually
and
there.
And they have retweeted the link, yeah.
Yes, so it is available somewhere. So, you know, of course, this endless backwards and forwards between Fine Gael and Sinn Féin, and I think when Leo Varadkar was Taoiseach, certainly we did see a lot of very intensive arguments between him and Mary Lou MacDonald that at times you could say got very personal. And I think it'll be interesting to see whether or not we're going to see more of that with Simon Harris as Taoiseach. Certainly Tuesday was not an indication. But I will very quickly make the point that, you know, Mary Lou MacDonald stood up in the Dáil. She was talking about, you know, cancer treatments that had been cancelled. Children's Health Ireland came out last night in a statement and said that there are no cancellations in the chemotherapy treatment. They're saying that the majority of delays or deferrals are due to patient-specific reasons and based on clinical decisions relating to the patient's medical condition at the time. And, you know, those appointments may be rescheduled. So not a comment I think that she would have been expecting from Children's Health Ireland.
And there has been back and forth, David Cullinan making remarks about the way the information was presented, and Minister Donnelly also saying maybe it could have been presented better. Maybe there was an element of misunderstanding here.
Yeah, yesterday, Mary Lou MacDonald, as Gabby has said, she told it all about 250,000 cancelled appointments. But within that, there was 800 cancelled chemotherapy appointments last year for children. Children's Health Ireland, though, saying that it's not correct to characterise them as cancellations. Mm-hmm. They're deferred. They're sometimes deferred for a day or two. And often there can be genuine clinical reasons as to why they are delayed or deferred. And you sort of saw the, as you said there, the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, acknowledging that maybe the response that Sinn Féin got from the HSE initially could have been better written. Perhaps the word cancellation isn't the accurate word to use. But overall, I think in the past week, we have seen this tactic from Sinn Féin and the other opposition parties to point to Simon Harris's previous roles in government which is probably quite effective given that he's tried to portray himself as the new energy for Fine Gael, but he has been in cabinet for a long time. So twice this week we saw health being brought up, and then today we saw apprentices being brought up. These, of course, are two briefs that Simon Harris had whilst in cabinet, one brief being further in higher education, the other one obviously being Minister for Health.
So if Sinn Féin were attempting to score a point against the Taoiseach over his track record in health and in higher education, did it backfire in any way this week?
Perhaps maybe it didn't go according to plan. I mean, certainly the very first point that Marilyn McDonald brought up was this issue of spinal surgeries and this commitment that Simon Harris made in 2017 when he was health minister, that the wait would not be any longer than 4 months, I believe. Of course, that wait has not been met. And when you have those human interest stories that we see, not just in my own newspaper, not just in RT, but across all of the media of children who have, you know, serious curvatures in their spines. They need surgery urgently. And then they get to a point of waiting for so many years where they become inoperable. Those human interest stories are brought up in the Dáil. And really, there is nothing. It's very difficult to defend that record. So I thought it was interesting to see that brought up. That is quite indefensible. And certainly Simon Harris perhaps maybe go on to regret that commitment that he made in 2017. Certainly for him, mm-hmm. this week did not work out very well.
And it's been a busy week for him. Of course, he's off at that European Council meeting, which is now in its second day in Brussels. And some interesting comments from him while he's been there on the fact that Ireland is, there seems to be no to this idea of euro defence bonds. And we know that defence is going to be a big theme, isn't it, Tommy, in this next European Commission, because defence is very much an issue that a lot of European countries are thinking about at the moment.
Yes, this was Simon Harris's first full EU Council summit as Taoiseach. And Ursula von der Leyen, she's the president of the European Commission. She's seeking a second term, and she has said that if she gets that second term, that she will appoint a sole commissioner to look after the area of defence. Because in the past few months, particularly with the invasion of Ukraine, we have seen more and more conversation around how the European Union has to be self-reliant, you could say, in terms of defence, in the context of a Donald Trump election as well. I think there's nerves across the EU.
It's actually hard to underestimate that, isn't it? And maybe we should talk about that a little bit more. The sense, when you talk to different European politicians, this sense of the end of the year, the end of the year, it's not going to be good. There's a lot of nervousness, isn't there?
The conversation was very serious, actually, at the EU Council summit from reading the copy that came from that. I mean, they're talking about implementing legislation that would mandate companies to force them, essentially, to produce certain arms in case of a crisis, that they'd have to share certain data. And I suppose the problem for Simon Harris in all of this is that he is the leader of a militarily neutral country, and that is something that can evoke huge emotion here at home. And we see it played out in the Dáil all the time. The point that Simon Harris was making when he was speaking in Brussels today was that Ireland shouldn't be afraid to talk about these things, and that it can do that whilst also maintaining its military neutral capacity. I've asked MEPs about this, the Irish MEPs, about what Ireland's role is in the middle of all this defence conversation. They say that perhaps Ireland's role is in the area of cyber defence, but I don't think we're world leaders on that front either.
I suspect we'll be hearing a lot more about this in the European Parliament election campaign. And again, Simon Harris, talking in Brussels, he's minded to move beyond the triple lock, that Russia shouldn't have a veto in our defence policy. But Nasa Harrigan for the Greens out very fast saying, now hang on, the triple lock, that's part of the programme for government.
Yes, and when we have seen a lot of talk about neutrality and specifically the triple lock in recent weeks and months, and it was interesting to hear Simon Harris in his first comments, certainly on the triple lock as Taoiseach, you know, he's saying that it would be absurd that Russia would effectively have a veto where we can send peacekeeping troops. And when speaking on Tánaiste Mícheál Martin's plans to bring forward legislation to change the triple lock, he said, I hope that's something that can be done in the lifetime of this government. That is not to say, and that isn't distorted time and time again at home, that in any manner of means move away from military neutrality, which Ireland intends to absolutely keep. I will say, from even speaking to Irish politicians, and there is a number of TDs I've spoken to, it is a small number, but they do privately believe that we should be putting a lot more focus on defence and perhaps even consider, for example, joining NATO. I mean, the conversation across the EU is much more serious than it is here because of the war in Ukraine, but also the looming threats from Russia and, of course, what's happening in the Middle East as well. You know, this idea that Ireland does not have its own resources that we're relying on the UK in case of anything happening? And what does that ultimately mean if we're to get into trouble? Of course, the UK is our nearest neighbour, but they're not in the EU anymore. And I think politicians perhaps are, that the thinking is starting to shift a little bit, that we don't want to be left exposed or vulnerable if we were to need that support and it wasn't there.
Maybe at the political level, but the polling tells us that there's a very, very, very strong level of public opinion that supports Irish neutrality. And it'll be interesting to see how much this debate advances, doesn't it? Won't it, given how much we're hearing that contentious legislation that we thought was in the offing is not now going to be there, or not in the short term anyway?
Yeah, it's something that evokes huge emotion. You have the likes of Cathal Berry, though, who would say that you should step up your spending on defence, but that doesn't necessarily mean abandoning neutrality. Mm-hmm. But he would be against the triple lock, for example. And you've heard Taoiseach Micheál Martin, the defence minister, making the point that it's unsustainable in this day and age that Ireland has to get approval from the likes of Russia to be sending its troops.
But you need
to
Green support
places.
If the government wants to get that those votes through the House then.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, if Sinn Féin is in government, they won't have to worry about that.
Let's talk about the Greens, because they've got their conference coming up. It's in the RDS, is that right, this weekend?
Yes, that's right. And so, of course, we've seen all the political parties have their conferences and Ardeshes and so on. And so this weekend, it's the turn of the Green Party. Of course, you know, we are looking up into the local and European elections, and that's a big focus for them as well. I think they'll be aiming to, you know, highlight all the positive things that they have achieved in government. And in fairness, you know, even the harshest critics of the Greens can say that they have rubber stamped the programme for government and the things that have been achieved throughout the lifetime of the government. They are, you can see the Green.
Was it Michael Fitzmaurice spoke about the green tail wagging the government dog? Somebody spoke about that at some stage.
We've heard it from a few of them, I think, including Matthew McGrath and so on. Yeah.
But it's interesting. These elections are actually, again, going to be really interesting because, of course, the last time we had that big green tide when the whole Greta Thunberg and the Friday protest movement was very much at its peak. So Eamon Ryan has been advancing this theory that on account of the climate change, and certainly we're all looking at the weather, we're all kind of going, oh, my Lord. But so he's saying on account of climate change, and look at those floods in Dubai, although they think there that could have been rain seed, cloud seeding and stuff like that as well, all kinds of theories. But he's saying that will hold up their vote. These elections are going to be a really interesting test of that. You know, last time compared to the polls, is there a solid green vote there that will stick with them through thick and thin?
Absolutely. And it's also going to be a commentary on what the Greens have achieved in government. A lot of people, especially in rural Ireland, are not happy at all with the Green Party and Eamon Ryan. However, I think there is an argument to be made for that core vote, people who truly believe in environmental policies and the need for the green agenda. We also know that the Green Party is very open as to who they may go into government with. I mean, Eamon Ryan has said, look, the green agenda has to be first and foremost. It is the biggest crisis of our time. And so the Greens need to be in government.
And it's been interesting as well. I know we've Nessa Harrigan and outside the party and so on at the moment. But there's been very little internal rowing. I mean, I know there was the Catherine Martin's heave against Eamon Swan at the very start, but they've been remarkably solid, really, haven't they, in government all the way through so far?
I suppose it was the Nessa Harrigan and Patrick Costello rows that were probably the most destabilising for the party. I suppose they've resolved that to some extent now that she's outside the party. She will be brought back into the party, but that's still some time away. Eamon Ryan has said that in the heat of an election that people will start to focus in on things and that you will see that core support hold up. But there's no doubt about it. The wave of good feeling and support that they had in 2019 is definitely out. And also, they have had
And Nessa's only out of the parliamentary party. She's not out of the Green Party.
They've also had some very difficult briefs in government, and I think that might have been by accident rather than design. But you have the likes of Roderick O'Gorman, who's in charge of immigration.
And he went in determined they were going to reform that home system.
Yeah, and it's become incredibly difficult. But I suppose who could have anticipated what would happen with the war in Ukraine and the huge numbers of refugees that are coming here? So he's had a very difficult brief. Catherine Martin as well, you could say, has had a difficult time of it in terms of the RTE crisis and most recently the stepping down of the chair of the RTE board. So their time in government has been a difficult one. And you see the independents as well, the rise in their support. And I think a lot of them are able to point or score a lot of political points by attacking the Green Party, which is something you see in the Dáil Chamber all the time.
And a bit of a sense among Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael backbenchers, isn't there, Gabby, that, you know, whatever about his other briefs, such as climate, where clearly Éamon Ryan has played a big, you know, role on the international stage and the climate agreements and so on. Terms of and he's been a huge advocate for public transport and for cycling. But
active
in terms
travel.
Of roads... Roads
yes.
that cars go on. A lot of TDs would have liked to see a lot more.
Not a fan of the roads, and it's the active travel that he has pushed, not even maybe more so public transport, but much so, you know, cycling, walking, you know, then public transport. In fairness, he did cut public transport fares, a very popular measure, you know, especially for young people. But yes, I mean, the issue of roads, I mean, how many parliamentary party meetings have I reported on where they've been giving out about Éamon Ryan? And the biggest issue would be, you know, huge road developments and upgrades and infrastructures that have been long promised, that are in the National Development Plan, but perhaps may still not have been delivered. And it's those rural TDs that are saying, you know, this road to Limerick, for example, is a key part of our infrastructure. We need to see it upgraded. I promise it to my constituents. We've been promised it for many years and still no sign of it. I think it's interesting to Tommy's point, you know, for sure the independents have seen an increase, and certainly when you talk about perhaps, you know, some of the anti-immigration sentiment that's out there as well, they could be seen to be benefiting from that to a certain degree. You know, the Greens, they're not doing exceptionally well in polls, and I think perhaps there is a bit of a disappointment from some of their parts of government that, you know, they have had a very difficult time with the portfolios that they have been given. That didn't go according to plan, and look, that's just politics, but I think they will fight very hard to keep the seats that they have and even try to build on them.
All right, well, you'll be there at the weekend.
I will certainly be, yeah.
We'll be there at the weekend, so we'll see you there. Thanks for coming and joining us on Your Politics today. That's it from us. Lots of politics to come over the weekend, and we'll be back with you again next Thursday. Take care. Bye.